poured out upon us, okay?
Should I use this?
Yeah.
Well, good morning.
Yes, I'm Vlad, I'm from Serbia and all that. I've been here before. I love seeing this place again and again and bit with friends. I love what you've done with the building. I think you're growing very fast. So very soon I'm going to preach from the kitchen. So why not? Jesus did from the boat, so kitchen sounds not bad. I want to talk about one very simple truth with you this morning. And that is that the most influential preacher in your life is not Tim Keller, is not Andy Stanley, is not Mike Betts, is not any of those persons or whatever his favorite preacher for you. The most important preacher in your life, it's you. You are talking to yourself all the time. You have thousands and thousands and millions of words that goes through your mind every single day. You are preaching something to yourself every single day. You wondering why all these things from the past are popping up to you right now. Maybe you're wondering why you're feeling like this. Maybe you're trying to analyze why those things happens to you or not happens to you. What this person thinks. But we are created in that way that we always analyze things around us. And we're trying to find some kind of meaning in our lives. We are trying to find our place in this world around us and find why we are here on the first place. We are like an archaeologist of our soul. We're digging to find some deep meaning. We are theologians asking all these difficult questions that we sometimes can't find the answers. We are philosophers who are trying to find some meaning around us. So it's very important to know that thing, that the person who stands here and preaching to you is not the most influential person, preacher in your life. It's what you're hearing and what you're preaching to yourself. It's much more important than anything else. So you always get two sets of sermons every Sunday. And our job here, ever who stands here and preaching to you, is to teach you how to preach to yourself. Because you see me once in a year, you see John once in a week, but you are with yourself always preaching something to yourself. Sometimes you have such a mess in your mind that mess in your mind literally control your day, control your week, control your life. You know, sometimes the words in our mind are so loud that you can't hear yourself talking. So it's very important to learn to preach a proper thing to yourself. Praise God. We have Psalm 42. And in this Psalm 42, we are invited to eardrop to the man who speaks to his own soul. And you're going to learn some very, very, very important things if you want to really have a life in which words in your mind are there to build something constructive and solid and beautiful in your life. If you don't control the words in your mind, they can destroy you. They can destroy your life. If you put them under control, if you know how to preach to yourself, you can actually build something absolutely wonderful from your life. So the Psalm 42, it goes like this. And for you who is older people here, I'm going to sound like a count from Sesame Street. For younger people here, I'm going to sound like a Gru from Despicable Me. But I decided to embrace those things. So I want to set you free to talk behind my back. I know how I sound. So here we go. Psalm 42 says like this. Dear pants for stable water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while man says to me all day long, where is your God? Those things I remember, I say, pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgivings amongst the festive songs. Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast with me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan, the heights of Hermon, the Mount Mizar. Deeps call for deeps in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By the day, the Lord erects His love at the night He spoke with me, a prayer to God of my life. I said to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must go about mourning, oppressed by enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes stone me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Amen. I just love that. And I don't know from what kind of situation in life he's going. Who knows what kind of oppressions are happening to him. Who knows what kind of difficult things he's facing. But this is not unknown to me. I'm often in this kind of situation. This is not unknown to you. Quite often we meet mysteries in life. We meet the things that we didn't choose for us to happen. The mystery novels. My life is mystery. And I often open the doors in life that I don't want to open. And often things happen to me that I don't want to happen to me. I didn't plan them. The last week things happened I didn't want to plan. I will never be directing it that way. I don't have control over my life. My life is in control of God. And sometimes things are happening that I just didn't plan in my life. And because of that, there is a certain thing that happens in my soul. The first things, I face some very, very, very deep emotions. Listen to him. My soul pants for you. My soul is thirsty. My tears have been my food day and night. My soul is downcast with me. My bones suffer mortal agony. Sometimes I want to shout. Sometimes I want to curse. Sometimes I surprise myself with the words coming from my mouth because I'm in a deep pain. Sometimes I face this kind of emotion that I just sober down and I break down totally. Sometimes I want to shout to God, where are you? Why are you doing those things to me? And I just love that David put all these things in words. He's not ashamed of his emotions. He's not ashamed that he's an emotional being who goes through all these kind of things. And we shouldn't be ashamed of them. We are created in that way. We put our emotions in the direction of God, but we shouldn't be super Christians who never feel bad, who wants to conquer the world by oppressing their emotions and saying, our emotions, I control them, and I never feel like this, I'll never feel like this, I'll never feel like this. No, I'm an emotional being. And I face some things in life that bring all kind of emotions in my life. The second thing, because of deaths of the things that hit us, I'm theologian. Everybody of us ask deep theological questions. My rock. The of God rock is a powerful imagery. The people who knows what the desert is and what is the animals. It was climb on the rock and feel protection and comfort of the place where the enemy and the animals can't touch you. God, you are my rock. I thought those things are never going to happen. In you, I'm going to find all the comfort. I thought in you, I'm secure. I can lower down my guards. I can enjoy the life and look what happened to me. Why have you forsaken me? What's happening? A person of us is theologian who asks deep theological questions. We're searching for answers. We have a mind who seeks to understand why those things happen to me. What is my place in the world? What is the functional theology in my life? We're asking all these deep questions. And now when you start feeling all these deep emotions and asking all these deep theological questions, you start being open for all kind of accusations. You start hearing the voices in your mind. You start hearing the people around you feeling that they're saying some things to you. The devil in your mind telling some things to you. Your conscience start saying some things to you. My bones suffer mortal agony. Foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Where is your God? And that question that goes through our mind, where is your God now, sister? How about your God of grace and love now, brother? How about his love for you now, child of God? Do you know all these accusations that we have on our mind when we hit these all difficult places? The worst thing is when you testify to all these people around you and say how great is your God, how great is your God, and you hit some difficult times and your life is breaking down and you almost feel and something. They do that. They ask you all these questions. Where is your God now? And in that moments of very strong emotions, of that moments of deep theological questions, of that moments of all this accusation that goes to you, all these questions that you don't want to hear, you start preaching something to yourself. You start saying some things to yourself. You can say the gospel of Jesus Christ that can build you up, or you can say some other things that can actually ruin you down. And I love this writer here. I love David saying these things in verse 5 and verse 11. He's preaching to himself in all these difficult moments. He looks in his soul. He doesn't allow his soul just to wander around and do whatever it was. He takes control of his heart. He's asking questions. He's preaching to himself. Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed with me? Put your hope in God. You will praise Him, my Savior and my God. That is the preaching to yourself. That is taking control of your thoughts of your mind. And teach you two very important things. Very, very important thing. The first thing is you gotta oppose your heart. You gotta oppose your heart. Why are you so downcast, my soul? You feel so bad. Why did you go that road? Why did you feel depressed? So why did you feel like that? I'm not allowing you to go in that direction. That's what he says. Because of all cultures that ever existed, of all cultures that exist today in the world, us, modern men, in the Western culture, we're not used to it, the suffering and the difficulties. Because everything around us communicates us that life should be easy. The life should be easy. So our threshold of resistance to suffering, it's very low. It's very low. We learn that everything is happened with the push of the button. Look all the advertisements. You got to choose the right shampoo and you're going to have all the girlfriends. Seriously, I try all those shampoos. Doesn't work. That's why I lost my hair. Just doesn't work. You want to have a happy life? Just choose the right mobile phone. You're going to have a happy family? It's the right credit card. It's simple as that. We are constantly bombarded that life is so easy to be easy and comfortable. You just need a tiny little thing to happen in your life. It's just a tiny little pressing of the button. So when the difficulty happens to us, we are surprised. We're asking questions. We start with accusation. Who pressed the wrong button? Who didn't read the manual here? What's happening? What's happening? Why is life so difficult? Because life is difficult. Because we are the only people who are asking those questions. Nobody else is asking those questions. People in the past learned to live with difficulties. Life is tough. People in the rest of the world live with difficulties. Life is tough. But everything around us shapes us to be so weak. So our heart is weak. Our heart is afraid. Our heart just doesn't know how to face the life. And because life is full of surprises, our heart is always afraid. Our heart is like a wolf, well, like a lamb in front of wolves. Our emotions are like a poisonous snakes that just bite our heart and they spoil our day, spoil our week, spoil our lives, spoil our relationships. So in the context of all that, we shouldn't allow our heart to take us wherever heart wants to take us. The world says, let your emotion take you. Just go with your heart. Follow your heart. Don't follow your heart. Your heart is still in a war. It's still war happens in your heart. It's still good and bad things in your heart. It's still pure. It still needs to regenerate fully. And because of that, you have things in your heart. If you don't take care of your heart, it's going to take in the direction that's very wrong. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. It leads only to evil. The Bible says that means taking care of your heart. That just doesn't mean let your heart take whatever you want. You take control of your heart. And that's what he does here. Why are you so downcast? In all these emotions, it's so easy to give yourself into flow and listen to your heart. Say, yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true. He knows what is the right thing. Why are you downcast? Why are you in panic? Why are you giving to fear? Why are you giving to discouragement? Why? 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 Why did you do that? It's a tough one, but it's so important one. Because if you go with the difficult, trying to find the answers to all these difficult questions in those moments, if you allow yourself to go with emotions where emotions wants to take you, going to take you some bad places. That very often we very difficultly find the way out from those places. Because the second part of the verse says, You got to say together with the psalmist, you put your hope in God. He's your salvation and your God. When all these things face you down, you oppose your heart, and the next thing you're doing, you say, you put your hope in God. You put your hope in God. There is no matter what you confront, what troubles you, how hard it is with you emotionally, no matter how much you don't understand, there is no situation, there is no circumstances that can be compromised. The true hope. There is a true hope, and if you hold the true hope, nothing that faces you, nothing that hits you in the world, nothing that surprises you, no any mystery door that you open can compromise the true hope. And you can hit any kind of things in life and be steady and stay on that rock, which is Christ, and not be touched by any kind of things, any kind of enemy. Hope is all that on what we base our expectation for the future. Simple as that. That is the hope. On what we based our expectation for the future, for the better things, for any kind of satisfaction, any kind of fulfillment, any kind of comfort, any kind of joy, any kind of love, any kind of fulfillment. What we base our expectation for the future. And we always rely our hope on something. Always. Always. Hope is like a ladder that you're always having on your shoulders. And you're always going around trying to find the steady wall on which you can put that ladder and lean on it. That is the hope. And we try to find those hopes, these walls. And we go from one wall on another in this broken world, trying to every single wall. And in every single wall in this broken wall world that you put the ladder, is going to shake sooner or later. Put your hope 10 fingers. It's going to shake it sooner or later. You're going to put hope in the eyes of that. It's going to shake sooner or later. You're going to put your hope in the smile of that boy. It's going to shake sooner or later. You put your hope in education. It's going to shake sooner or later. Sooner or later, every single in this broken world around us is going to shake it and break down. And we go around the world, our life, with the ladders of hope on our shoulders and put in every single broken wall around us, and it shakes sooner or later. God's looking upon us and says, doesn't matter how clever you think you are. Doesn't matter how big is your bank account. Doesn't matter how great your family is and your hope in your family and that you're a good mother and good dad because you put all this hope, your children are going to be something and people are going to say what a great mother, what a great father you are. Doesn't matter how great is all this. Sooner or later, all these things are going to shake because none of those things is made up to be savior in your life. None of these things is made up to be a functional service. You feel good because of those things, because you found your fulfillment in those things. They're going to shake. There is only one thing. There is only one person that can be a savior in your life. There is only one wall that can be a steady wall that can you put your ladders and know that nothing's going to shake, and that is Jesus Christ. And as long as you go around and put things and think, I'm going to find my fulfillment, I'm going to find my identity, these things is going to break down. And once when you find your true identity and true fulfillment in that true world that never shakes, Jesus Christ, every other things that God gives you in life, from your friends, from your family, from the good bank account, from everything else, it's just going to become the real thing. And that is a blessing. All those things are a blessing that God's given to us to enjoy in life and enjoy in sharing that with other people. They're not designed to save us. They're not designed to give us that hope that only God can give us. And that's why there is a true hope. Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. Because nothing else can be that hope. He is the ultimate definition of everything that is wise. He is everything that is faithful. He is the supreme definition of good and love. You can find those things only in Him. Every single wisdom that you need, you can find in Him. How much we put the wisdoms in 10 fingers. You know, you can be so capable, so capable, so capable, so capable to make millions and millions and millions. It's God's grace that you're born in a place where you can make millions. With those 10 fingers and an ability to make millions, you can be born on the top of the Nepal And the only thing you can be a good is the making a llama's cheese and nothing else. It's the God's grace. It is a blessing He gives to us. He's Emmanuel. Not just because He came to the world, He's my Emmanuel who came to me. Oh man, what kind of mess I was in, what kind of mess you were when He found us. We know that. The biggest miracle ever for every single person of us, that He saved me, that He saved you. We trying to find some miracles and miracles. You don't need to go too far away. Just look deep in your soul and see, man, where I was. And You took me. And You did some kind of beautiful miracle of my life. I could never choose better things for me than what You're giving me. I was in such a mess. And I was asking myself, how can You sort it out, this mess? And then You pop in my life and You sort it out. And I'm amazed with Your wisdom and Your goodness and Your Emmanuel. It is impossible for us to ever be alone, ever be too without resources, ever be left without wisdom, left to our own strength, because God is present in our life with all His glory. That's our hope. And you know that. We just keep forgetting those things. And we just keep, again, moving the ladders of our faith from the true wall to shakable walls of this world. Again and again and again, stupidly. And then again and again and again, God reminds us that we wake up in Revelation. We put back this ladder to the true wall. Others may love you because you're sweet and irresistible, because you're rich, because you're entertaining, because you're family, so we must love you. But God loves you because He loves you. And that's love, because it's nothing depending on you. It's unshakable. Because He is not shakable God, He's an unshakable God. When He loves, and you can't change that. You can just surrender yourself to that love, be overwhelmed by that love, allow that love to change you, to be power in your life to change you. The human love is weak, sporadic, temporal, and largely conditional, but His love is unconditional, constant, and perfect. There is no situation in this life, there is no condition in this life that can separate me from that love. That is the true hope for us. Having that kind of person who loves you that much. And on the other side, having that kind of person who is so powerful and so wise, and his thoughts full of you. Having that kind of person who says, put your ladders of hope on me. It's a mighty thing. It's such a mighty thing. That is our sermon every single day. That is the thing we preach every single time to us. Every single time when we are faced with all kinds of storms in life, all kinds of unexpected things in life, every single time we say to our heart, stop my heart. I'm not going to move the ladders of hope from the steady God to unstable things. I'm not going in that direction. I'm going to put my hope in Him. I'm going to trust Him and see my salvation. And my God, where are you looking for hope today? Where do you look for that fulfillment? What is the real source of your hope? You know that for yourself. You need to ask these questions yourself. You need to ask these questions. Do you remember when you had the ladders of life on the right wall? And life was great. And then somehow all this advertisements of life, of broken world, crept in your soul, and you somehow start moving that ladder on your achievement. That person, that bank account, and start worrying when things start shaking, because sooner or later everything shakes. Is it time for you to move back the ladders on a true wall? That's what I'm asking you today. That's what you need to ask you, because it's impossible to... That's my phone. Just press the button. Somehow expect it's going to happen. You will always understand. Do you know, with God, it stopped. The one of the things you find in life is trying to understand what's happened to us. You know, with God, you're never going to understand what's happened. Never. He's never going to give you full answers. Not just because He doesn't want to give you the full answers. It's just because you're not going to understand those answers. You're just not going to understand. So hope and peace is not having all the answers answered, questions answered. It's about trusting that person. Just like, you know that there's a lot of kids here, there are a lot of young families. Yeah, when you have a little kids, and you usually you say you can't have a sweets now, it's dinner time, and you get all the fuss and everything. And doesn't matter how much you explain them. You know, you don't even need to go to all the dentist stuff and stuff. You can use their own baby words to explain why not. Why you should go, why you're going to that kind of suffering of not having a sweets, you know, before the dinner. They're not going to understand. The only thing you can do is just go on your knees. Go in the eye level with the kids and say, you trust your dad. You know your dad is a good dad. You know your dad means the best for you. You know daddy never wants to hurt you. And of course, you see that with that, you break in through your kids, you know. And they slowly start nodding their heads and you can see they start to understand and say, but now, trust your dad. Well, at least work with my kids. Trust your dad, you know, and wait for dinner. And it works. And that's what God is doing with every single person with us today. This morning even. He's an eye-to-eye level with us. And says, do you trust me? Do you trust me? But I have all these questions. No. Trust me, it's going to work. It's going to work. But I have all these feelings and all these things are happening to me. And I thought you're my rock and you're not my rock. And why I'm so oppressed by enemies and stuff are going back. No, just trust me. Everything's going to work well. Just trust me. I'm a good God. Just remember past. Just remember how good I was to you in past. Just remember the Bible. Just remember all the things that you know already, how great God I am. Just remember those things and trust me. And one day everything is going to work. One day, every single tear is going to be wiped away. One day, every single piece of the puzzle is going to fall down in a proper place. And one day, it's going to be released for us. And one day, we're going to see Him face to face. And one day, we're going to say, aha, I love you, Lord. Now I understand what you did in my life. For some of you, the journey with the Heavenly Father maybe starts today. Some of you, maybe you actually never, ever, ever properly put your hope in Him. And you know what it means. You know because your life is the living testimony of the broken walls and how much you are trying to put your hope in the broken walls. And it's always crumbled out and you always face confusion. You always face frustration. You always face some kind of pain. Now is the time for the first time maybe to you take the ladders of your life and you put on Him because it's worth putting on Him. For you, maybe it's the first time now you gotta put your hope in God and see what that means and see how good He is. Taste and see that our Lord is good Lord. For some of you, you just got confused. You just got confused. You are a Christian for a long time. But yeah, I remember a time when my ladders of life was on a proper wall and I somehow got tricked by the world and I started moving the ladders of my faith, the ladders of my life on a different broken walls. Now it's time to go back. Now it's time to allow to God minister to your heart. Just remind you how much He is Emmanuel to you. How much He saved you, how much He came just for you. Just allow to bring all these memories from the past, how faithful He is, how it's worth trusting Him, how it's worth to put all your weight on Him. And then do that. Repent and come back to Him and say, Lord, I want to put all of my trust to You. Because I know my worries. I know the problems I have. I know how much my heart takes me in the wrong place. So some of you, you just haven't been the good preacher of the gospel to yourself. You listen to some other anti-gospels. Some of you, you just need to go back to the Bible and learn to preach to yourself again. Yeah, it means discipline. Yeah, it means belonging to the church. Yeah, it means we need one another because we all need encouragement daily. We need one another so we can preach the gospel to one another. Practice someone until we learn in our life to preach 24 hours a day gospel to ourselves. For some of you, stop feeling guilty. Go back to God and learn to preach gospel to yourself. Not anti-gospel of self-guilt. Not the anti-gospel of judgmental spirit. No anti-gospel or blaming our parents. Yeah, we can always find something to blame our parents. Of course, of course. And our kids are going to find something to blame us one day. Yes. But it's time to leave that away and start preaching gospel to ourselves. Learn to preach gospel to yourself. May God bless you all. Amen. Amen. Huh? Did you see that? Huh? I could do half a more hours, just to know.
That was a masterclass in discipline with the clock. Friends, it was such a simple analogy that Vlada has used of the ladder. I'm sure you've been able to really get that. And the imagery he's been using of kind of what have you lent your Vlada ladder against? That was good, wasn't it? That was good. So the invitation, seriously, the invitation is there to us this morning to actually say, I realize, perhaps you've seen it more clearly than ever before, that I have actually been trying to lean on, rely upon anything and everything other than Jesus Christ. And maybe you want to turn away from that. So I'm going to pray for us now. And if you want to respond in some way, please pray with me in your heart. Let's pray together now. Lord Jesus, you are the cornerstone and the capstone and the foundation and the wall. You are everything. And now with our whole hearts, we choose to turn and to lean on you and to rely on you and you alone. Lord, where we've been trying to build our life on anything else, it's been like building on sand. We should have been building on the rock. So in Jesus' name, we turn back, we return to our Maker. And Lord, maybe for some of us, it's the first time that we've ever done that deliberately with our whole heart to return to our Maker. But we choose to do that. And for some of us, it's our ladder has got it's got out of position. And now we choose with our whole heart to put our faith upon Christ. Christ our cornerstone. Christ our foundation. We choose to lean on him and no other frame. We choose to build on him and no other foundation. We choose to align ourselves to him. Thank you, Lord, that you are so gracious to invite us after yourself in this way. Lord, your invitation is with a smile, not a wagging finger of disapproval. You call us back. You draw us back. You woo us back. You win us back after yourself. The God of love, the Emmanuel, Savior, God of love who is with us. Praise you, Lord. Praise you. Worship team, do you want to come and join us? Come and get in position.